Let's give the Lord one more. Say, thank you, Lord. You're alive today. He's moving today. His Spirit's alive today. I'm so thankful. Who wants to have an encounter with God today? Who wants to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit today? Who wants God to move in your life today in a brand new way, in a fresh new way? Who wants the Holy Spirit to change circumstances today? I know I do. You know, I want to start with this. Whatever things were written, this is talking about the Word of God, were written before, were written for our learnings, that what? That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Oh, I want some hope this morning. And we're going to talk about a lot of things this morning. I'll share a story this morning. But I tell you, the Word brings us hope. So everything we talk about is going to be centered around the Word this morning. And I'm excited to share with you. What's the title of the message this morning? The title is Looking for You. Looking for You. Oh, the message has disappeared. Now I'm looking for the message. There we go. Looking for you. So I'd like to start by saying there's probably one person you're looking for this morning, and that's Pastor Wyatt and Sister Wanda. Pastor Wyatt and Sister Wanda, for those of you who weren't here Wednesday, they're on vacation, taking some time off to go down to South Carolina, see some family, recharge some batteries, and they will be more than happy to be with us tomorrow. So they're coming back tonight. We pray safe travels on them. We pray that that they're able to renew some relationships and be excited about coming back to Kingsway and sharing the Word with us next Sunday. So in his stead, Pastor Wyatt has asked me to step in this morning and share the Word with you, and I am very excited to do just that. The message is looking for you, and I think I should maybe start with, who am I up here talking to all of you? My name is Sean Simon, for those who don't know me. I know most of you. I've spent a lot of time with some of you. Some I've just recently met, and some I don't know. I'm a licensed minister in the International Pentecostal Holiness for about 12 years now, and Kingsway is a place that's very near and dear to my heart. But for the last couple years, I think the best way to describe what's been going on is this. We have another child, and he is the loudest, most rambunctious, and craziest of the bunch. His name is Griffin. If you want a formal introduction, you could probably hear him in the nursery at any point in time. We love him dearly. There's a bunch of us, actually. So there's four of us, Austin, Lance, Maddie, and Griffin. And just to prove they're all ours, there's Bridget, my wife, and I right in the pack. So we've been busy. I will tell you, our quiver is full. So there, hopefully, Lord willing, the Simon quiver is full. I leave it that, Lord. We love our children, and we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And my wife and I are very happy to be here this morning and sharing God's Word with you. So with that said, I'm going to turn the attention back to you. We're looking for a few good men or women or youth or young adults or children. We are looking for you. So for those of you who are a little bit more dated than I, that you probably remember this picture, and it probably bring back all sorts of emotions and feelings. But the reality is we're looking for you. Well, who, in fact, is looking for you? Let's have a discussion. Who's looking for you? Well, there's all sorts of people looking for you these days. Advertisers, they're constantly looking for you. We get mailers and emails and phone calls all the time. Hopefully, the IRS is not looking for you, but potentially they may be. And of course, there's other more nefarious types like identity thieves that are on the hunt for your personal information. They're on the hunt to look for you as well. On the positive side of this, well, for some of you who aren't married, perhaps your future spouse is on the lookout for you. Maybe your old friends are looking you up through Facebook or through church communities or through some social network. They may be looking for you. And for some of us, we hope it's this last one. We hope bigger and better employers are looking for us. We hope that Lord has something bigger and better for us in our future. And so as human beings, and particularly as Americans, we're constantly under the microscope. All sorts of people Maybe your neighbor is looking for you to tell you to cut your grass or to keep your dog off the lawn. They tell me both those things. So, yeah, someone's looking for you. The question is why? So let's some fundamental truths here. People are looking for you because the reality is you provide value. All different sorts of value. You are deemed to someone, whether positively or negatively, as important. You have something they want. Friendship, relationship, skills for a job, ability to cook, provide a meal, the ability to watch after children, the ability to love on someone. You have a specific purpose they're probably looking for you for. If it's advertisers, they're looking for you to buy something. If it's your neighbor, they're looking for you to be a good neighbor. If it's your spouse, they're looking for you to do all sorts of honey-do things. You, in some cases, the majority of the case, if someone's looking for you, you are a missing piece, an important cog in something that's going on. Something. You know, I hope that my wife deems me as important and considers me as something she wants and as a missing piece in her life because I know she is in mine. And I know you guys feel that way about those in your lives. And so today, I want you to think about your value. How do you value yourself? What do you think other people see in you? What does God think of you, see in you, value in you? Not just what I'm saying, what I'm preaching. I mean, what do you think? So as we're going through this message here, I want you to think of it. And I want to pause for a second and say, this is actually a message that I have preached once before. And when I was putting this message together at that time, and it was a while ago, and I was praying about it, and I put it together, I really, truly believed at that time, this message was for Kingsway. I wasn't preaching for Kingsway at that time. I wasn't in ministry at Kingsway. But I was thinking and inspired by the things at Kingsway. And so to have an opportunity now to share this message with you, the congregation, and you, the journey that is Kingsway, is very special to me because you provide value. So let's talk a little bit more about that to add some substance to this. In the context of that last one, in employers looking for you, and all of you, or hopefully most of you, have jobs and gainfully employed jobs, and some of you may be looking for better jobs, and I know some of you younger people will ultimately be looking for jobs, and you'll have to go on interviews or fill out an application. It's just part of the process. It's part of the process of measuring value. What are you worth to a company? What are you worth to an organization? And when you do this, they ask all sorts of crazy questions. So for those of you who are going through an interview process, or if you haven't, and I've had to interview many in my life, we ask really silly questions like this. All sorts of questions like, and I'll read some if you can't see it. Three words to describe yourself. You just get three. Well, that's not easy. Three words to describe yourself. What is your greatest weakness? As if you're going to uncover some dramatic, you know, mystery of your life if you were to be able to explain your greatest weakness. How do you handle pressure? How do you handle difficult people? I don't. Don't say that. You know, you get all sorts of questions. You know, why do you want this role? Why are you a fit for this position? What's my point? My point is, if you're not asking it, many people around you are asking it. What value do you provide? Why are you here on earth? What is your purpose? What are you doing? What does God have for you? So I want to share with you, not interview tactics, not how to get a better job or to ultimately find a spouse, although I think all those things are part of God's blessing. I want to share with you how to measure your value, and I have what we like to call some good news. It's pretty simple. The master of the universe, the creator of all that is, all that will be, and all that was, he values you. He values you. It's as simple as that. Take the whole gospel, wrap it up, everything that happened in the Old Testament, everything he wanted to do with Jesus Christ, everything he did with Jesus Christ, Jesus dying on the cross, and his intervention in your life today is all summed up by something very simple, that God values you. We may replace this word with love all the time, and we say God loves you, but what we mean by that at the absolute core is that above all else and all that he values, it is you. And me, I hope. Me too. But you get the point. all of us are valued by who God is. So let's share some scriptures. I shared a couple of my favorites up here just to make sure that we're all stuck in the word here. Ephesians 1:4, he decided that just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, as he was envisioning this world, this universe, this earth, he envisioned each and every one of you. The word says, in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. He values you. That we say, God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. He wishes that all men, no matter where their lot in life, no matter where you are, that you would feel and experience his love in your life and that you would come to his saving knowledge. The word says that not willing that any should perish. He values all people and that all should come to repentance. And of course, you can't talk about God loving the world and value without the famous John 3:16. Now, why did I start with such an elementary set of verses and such a basic message? Because honestly, no matter what I say from this point forward, I could end right here. This should be enough to inspire each and every one of us to live in the will of God and all that he has for us. If God can create the universe, if God can change the world, if he can answer all of our prayers, and he says in the midst of all that he values us more than anything, then that, by definition, means he's willing to do anything necessary in your life. And the interesting thing about this is if he doesn't do a single thing in your life from this day forward, he is still worthy to be honored, to be worshiped, to be served, to be obeyed. That's the God we serve. That's the great news, though. The good news is he values us, but the great news is, as Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-believing Pentecostals, we believe that God is not done with us, that he is still working today, and that not only will he not do something just today, but he wants to do something today. He is implored, he is encouraged by our worship, he is welcomed in this place to do something in our very lives. I want to see that. I want you to see that, but it starts with you realizing that he values you more than anything. Okay, so that should set us up for what we're going to talk about today. What do you value? Each and every one of you, what do you value? Well, I got a couple quick pictures. You know, as Americans, you know, we live in this world, right? We go to work. We have to sustain ourselves. We have to provide for our families. We spend lots of money if we went to college or some type of schooling. And we have dreams and visions and thoughts of our lives, and we value all sorts of things. And here are just some of the common things that we often place value in. It may be something, you know, luxurious like a boat or a nice car. We may value a home, but that's also pretty basic. We need home, we need transportation, we value these things. It may be something less tangible, like we just value having a good job, having a place where we're acknowledged and appreciated, a place where we feel satisfied and challenged, a place where we can earn an income to provide for our families. That's valuable to us. And we pray that the Lord continues to bring these things into our lives. We may value our family. We may value just the simple fact that we have a spouse or children, or that God can bring these into our life, and we pursue these things. We pursue these things with all of our heart. Family. And for some of us, we may struggle with just more. We value whatever we have, we just value more of it. You know, for me, this is football. I love football. Absolutely love football. And I can't put a price tag on it. It's just more of it. So when it's not on TV or I'm not playing it, you know, I'm thinking, man, I just would love more football. My point is, you know, it's hard to live in this country. It's hard to deal with the pressures and the temptations around us. And we're constantly being pulled and torn between our value and what we value. So now let's go to Scripture and let's talk about what God says about all this. He says it in a much simpler way than I do. So I'm going to share it with you. If we go back to the New Testament, we go back to what was taking place during those times, there was farmers and there were merchants and there were all sorts of fishermen and Pharisees and Sadducees and priests and people of the law and people of the land, and they valued lots of things. all sorts of things to give them sustenance and to give them life. But back then, if you go back and look, there's talks about silver and there's talks about gold, but there's talk about one thing that was more valuable. I'm talking about tangible value, precious value back then. And it was pretty clear, and you read through scriptures, it only talks a little bit about this, but I find it interesting. They talk about pearls, or in fact, the black pearl. Back then, they had merchants who would go from port to port to port, talking and interacting and trading with the fishermen. And they would trade gems and precious jewels and things that they would collect all around the world. And of course, they would come across pearls. They had mollusks and oysters back then. And they'd come across pearls, and they were rare. And to have a pearl was something of high value. And if white pearls were of high value and rare, well, black pearls were even higher value. Even today, this particular picture is a black pearl set in a diamond something or other. And, I saw it on eBay, I believe, for, an inordinate amount of money. So even today, thousands of years later, we value the black pearl. We value this precious gem. Okay, Sean, why in the world are we studying gems? I'm not going to make you stand for the word. I want you to sit and really think about it today. Matthew chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to it. Chapter 45 and 46. This is the King James Version. Any version will do for this. It says, quote, and this is Jesus himself speaking, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one such pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. This is pretty simple. This is about as simple as they get. Jesus is going to tell us about the mysteries of heaven. You ever wonder what God's thinking? You ever wonder why he's doing what he's doing? You ever question God? Well, here's Jesus telling you exactly what's happening in the kingdom of heaven. It literally starts with that. And it talks about this really, really simple story about a merchant who is seeking beautiful pearls. He finds one and he sells all he has and buys it. Okay, why is this interesting? Well, first I find this interesting because think of your everyday life. Think of the things that you value. And very rarely do you ever come across anyone who values something so much that, in fact, they're going to sell everything they have to acquire it. Everything they have. But sometimes this happens in small scenarios. Maybe a college kid who wants to get into school and the tuition is too much and has to sell everything and his parents have to help him in order to get in. Maybe that's an example. Maybe there's an example today of somebody who has to get a new job and they value this job in maybe a remote location. They have to sell all their possessions in order to be able to afford to move there. Or maybe they finally found the love of their life, a spouse or this special person. And in order to be with that person, they need to relocate, need to sell all they have. So maybe there's some examples today, but those are rare. This is a rare story. What I also find very interesting about this story, why I wanted to share with you today, because I just love the word of God and the hope that it brings, is this is often a highly debated scripture. It's so simple that people wonder, what is the really deep meaning here? Where is all the theology? Where is all the spiritual depth? What can I learn from this message? So I want to share it with you, but I want to pause here and say this, that I believe, and I've studied the word really closely, and I've studied it, I've done Bible studies with some of you in really a lot of detail. And what I keep coming across over and over again is it's mysterious. Yeah, it can be confusing at times, but just for a moment. The Bible's not meant to be this mystery that you cannot understand. It's not meant to be this valuable thing that only the scholars and theologians and great pastors can understand. It's meant to be plain and simple and clear and change your life. And I'm going to show you how this very verse will do just that. So I'm going to take you a walk through something very simple, which is Matthew chapter 13. The Gospels are stories of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13, the book we're in right now, is a bunch of parables, stories that Jesus told, stories to make his mysteries plain. You don't need to read anything on the screen. I'm just going to talk you through it. I just want you to see it on this is a bunch of verses from Matthew chapter 13. It's in your Bible. It's interesting to me how Matthew chapter 13 is organized. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 parables back to back to back in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus telling us stories to change our lives. It's a book of parables. One of those parables is the one that I just put on the board before you. Now, why do I find this interesting? I find this interesting because if you take a little bit of time and start studying these parables, and by studying, I mean just read them word for word, you find something pretty interesting. The first parable says, behold, there's a sower who went out to sow. It goes on to share a story about the sower. The next one talks about the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed. It goes on to tell about what the man did. And in the third one, it says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his field. Again, another parable about a man doing something miraculous, doing something extraordinary. Well, then what happens? A couple of verses later, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which a man found and hid. There's a man again, doing something peculiar. Then you have, of course, our verse of the day. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. A man doing something. And finally, the last one, you'll find the common theme here. I'm not going to confuse you. The kingdom of heaven is like a man in a household doing something peculiar. So the obvious question for anyone sitting on Sunday morning who hasn't studied all this is, Sean, who is this man? Who is this man that's doing these peculiar things, like hiding things and selling things? Who is this man? And there's all this debate about who this man is, and this is what I love about the Bible. It's just so silly to me sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of debate. I mean, there are theologies based off verses like this. So I ask myself, well, how would I possibly understand this? How could I possibly interpret this? Well, there's a little section missing at the top there where I wrote, who is this man? And that's because I showed you verse 1 through the end of the book in your Bible. It's the same thing, about 52 verses. There's a block missing there. The block missing is verses 36 to 43. And watch what happens here. I find this very, very interesting. Everyone who was around Jesus at the time, particularly his disciples, said the same thing we're all saying today. Jesus, I don't understand what you're saying. Can you tell me who this man is? I mean, it literally says that. It says, Jesus, explain to us this parable. I don't understand it. And Jesus turned around and said something very profound and simple. He said, he who sows the good seed, the man in these parables, is in fact the Son of Man. It is in fact the Son of Man. What am I saying to you today? The Son of Man is another term, another title that Jesus used for himself. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. It means he is 100% man and 100% God. That's a message for another day. But the point is, Jesus is saying, these parables I tell you about, they're about who I am. They're about understanding me. So let's go back to our verse. Let's go back and look at this real quick. Our verse says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Jesus Christ found something. Found a pearl of great price, and it was of so much value to him that he sold all that he had and purchased it. What could it possibly be? What could Jesus Christ, who was sent here on earth, what could he have possibly found while he was here on earth of so much value that he was going to give all that he had to purchase it? What could it possibly be? For any of you who have read any of the Gospels, who have sat in any church service at any point in time ever, and have ever heard of the Christmas story or the Easter story or the Passion story, quickly realize that, yeah, I think I heard something about Jesus paying a price. And I think it was pretty extreme. Yes, Jesus paid a price. He died on the cross and gave all that he had. For who? For what? For us. You mean to tell me that God incarnate, when he came down to this majestic earth, this place of all of this mystery and wonder and all of this beauty, he came and he found something that he valued more than all of that? He came and he found hearts, hearts in every one of us today, that to him was of great value. Let me make sure you're understanding fully what this parable is saying, because it's very basic. This merchant here wasn't a random merchant. This wasn't some random person like myself looking at a bunch of diamonds. Anybody who's had bought any jewelry, and there's a lot of women in here, so I'm sure you are aware, that when you buy jewelry, they are all not created equal. When you buy a piece of jewelry, you need to go to a drawer, and they need to look at it and inspect it, and they tell you if one piece of jewelry is more valuable than another piece of jewelry. In other words, to me, they look the same, but to an appraiser, they're a very big difference. One diamond could be worth 100, one could be worth 100,000. They look very similar. That's because you need a trained eye. You need to be able to do this. In those days, those were merchants. Their job was to go from port to port, to trade to trade. They understood gems like today's appraisers. They traded them. Their lifeblood was dependent upon them sharing gems back and forth. So when they found a pearl, when they knew and appraised it, that it was of great value, they were the one who were the authority to say so. Why am I saying that? Because God himself decided to send Jesus Christ down this earth as the great appraiser of humanity. He decided to send Jesus Christ as our great merchant to find value here on this planet. And what did Jesus find when he came here? Something so important, so valuable, that he gave his whole life for it. He found you, he found me. He found your brother and your sister, your mother and your father, your best friend, your enemy. He found your coworker, your neighbor. He found that personal TV you can't stand and that personal TV that you love. He found each and every one of us, and he decided that he was going to sell all that he had. If this doesn't underscore the value God puts in us, whew, I don't know what does. Let me keep going here. Because the next question may be, well, why? Why, in fact, does God value us so much? This is a question I sometimes ask. So I want to share some more scriptures with you for a moment. Well, God values us. Believe it or not, because we are 100% perfect. This is interesting because we often say to each other, well, we're not perfect, Jesus is. And Jesus is perfect. But what we mean by that is we're not sinless, Jesus is. You know, we're not holy, Jesus is. That's what we mean by that. Perfect is an American word. But what God means by that is perfection. He created us perfectly. He made no mistake. He didn't forget one day. Each one of us are uniquely created, and we're created perfectly. How do I know that? Well, Galatians tells me God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created him. What is more perfect than God himself? And when he creates something, it is perfect. Now you say to me, well, God created lots of things. He created all sorts of things, the heavens and the earth. He created the birds and the bees. He created the oceans and the land and the sea. That's what makes God so awesome, is that when he created us, he was extraordinarily creative. Do you know that God is all-powerful? Raise your hand if you know God's all-powerful. Do we believe that? It means he can do all things. There's a word for that. Omniscient. Omnipotent. He means he's omnipotent. All-powerful. Do we know that God knows everything? Do we believe that God knows what's going on in your life even when you don't say it? Do we believe that God knows what's tempting you, what's incentivizing you, what your struggles are, what lays before you, what laid behind you? Do we believe that? I do. That means he's omniscient. There's another one. Do we believe that God is everywhere? Who believes that God is everywhere? Do we believe that God is everywhere? Wake you up. There we go. I do. I believe that he's everywhere. And what I mean by that is he's not just moving here in Kingsway on Sunday mornings. He's not just moving when we're singing worship songs in our car to work. He's not just moving at night when I lay down and pray. It means even when I can't pray, in the midst of what I have to do in my everyday life, God is there and he's moving in our lives. He is everywhere all the time. I can't hide from him and I don't want to. But there's one more that we very rarely talk about. And I love to talk about it. There's another attribute of God that's so very important. He's omnificent. It simply means that if he's all-powerful and he can do all things and he knows all things, that would be pretty boring if all he did was create the same old stuff all the time. In other words, he's all-creative. He can be unique in every way he answers prayers. When he answers your prayer, it will be different than the way he answers mine. When he does something in your life, it may be slightly different. When he creates you, you'll be different than who I am. God is all creative, and when he created us, he wanted to be creative. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made as images and workmanships of God. That's amazing. That's amazing. My wife reminds me often, you know, when we get in a little tiff or whatever, you know, we're going, sharing words with one another, and of course she always wins, and I say to her, oh man, you're a piece of work. And of course, she instantly replies with, absolutely, God's handiwork. Of course, she wins again. Their point is that even in the midst of our argument, right, God is good. God's going to work all things together for good because he created us and he put us together. He's creative. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works. Did you know today that the reason you have value is not just because you're perfect, it's not just because you were created by the Creator, but it's because he has a purpose for you. You are a puzzle piece. You are a cog in God's divine plan, each and every one of you. This church is in God's plan. This church is here for God to do something with it. He values it with extreme value that he was willing to give all for it. What is your plan? What is your purpose? What does God have for you, young or old, in ministry or not? Understanding every word I'm saying or not, it doesn't matter. The reality is God has a plan and a purpose for you. Do you know what it is? He has good works for you. Let's tie this together for you. Let me tie this together for you. Why pearls? Why gems? Well, you know, we usually ascribe value to something tangible, like gold, silver, dollars. But he picked something else. Let's take a look at this for a second. Let's talk, for just for a moment, let's talk about an oyster, a mollusk. That's the organism. You know, mud sucking, sitting at the bottom of a, you know, river, ocean. And it just sits there. Sucks mud, does its thing. On the outside, doesn't look too pretty. They all look very different. You know, it's got bumps and dirt and mud. I love oysters, by the way. Love them. Raw, slurp them up. Awesome. Some people think they're disgusting. They are disgusting. But here's what happens. In its everyday life, sitting there in the mud, in the disgust, it's constantly being exposed to everything around it. This is us. This is you and me. On the outside, spiritually, we're not beautiful. On the outside, we make mistakes. On the outside, we have to go to work. We have to go to school. We have to go in our neighborhoods. We have to be in this world of sin. For better or worse, we have to deal with this world that isn't exactly beautiful every single day. We're in a world where we're having death incarnate all the time. Thousands of people died in Nepal just this week. Downtown in Baltimore, we have all sorts of tragedy taking place. We have ugliness happening left and right. What do we do about it? Jesus gives us a story. It's pretty easy. We're going to be in a world where we're in the mud-sucking sin of it all the time. And we're going to be encountering it. What do we do when we encounter it? Well, this is what he decided to do with it. He says, I'm going to create this thing to show you, this oyster, this mollusk. And when irritants come into it, it is going to protect itself. It's going to surround itself. That thing, that irritant, that obstacle, that contaminant in its life, it's going to surround it. The oyster does. It surrounds it with something called nacre. It's the mother of pearl. It begins to layer this irritant, layer it. It doesn't go away. So what does the oyster side do? Add more. Add more layers. Add more layers. Add more. Add more. Over a period of many years, the oyster gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Most of the time, it's white, based on the irritant and the enzymes in it, and most of the time, it's white. And if we capture the oyster and we shuck it open, there may be a pearl inside. Now, the pearl is beautiful. The pearl is the thing of value. What are we saying? God is teaching us that when trouble, tribulation, sin, temptation. When we encounter these things in our lives, that's normal. That's the world we live in. It is our job to use those things and protect ourselves and surround those things, to protect our heart and surround them with God's word, God's love, God's value. And when we do, we will produce something valuable in each and every one of us. That's exactly what God is trying to do. What are you talking about, Sean? Well, I'll show you. I got a couple of examples. Some of you, those irritants may be all sorts of things. It may be poor health. You may wonder, why am I sick today? Or I've been sick for a long time. It may be financial struggles that makes you a little more bitter or question God. It may be a wrong decision you made a while back, something you've done that puts you on a course that you feel like you can't get off of. Maybe, perhaps, it's just experience or circumstance. Maybe, in fact, you're in a situation in life where it seemed like it just happened to you, where it was out of your control. And it now is an irritant in your life. It now is an obstacle in your life. These are the things that God has told us will happen. And that he very well will use to add value in your life. Can you share some verses, Sean? I told you I would. But as for you, you mean evil against me, but God means it for good, to bring about this very day. The things in your life, while Satan may be ushering them in, while people of this world may be ushering them into your life, they may mean it for evil, and God intends to use it very much for good. The things that have happened to each and every one of us, the circumstances of Kingsway Christian Center at this point in time, they are not by chance. That God is going to use every single one of them and allow this building to be all that God wants it to be. Allow this place, allow this congregation. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. And patience has its perfect work, maybe perfect in you, lacking nothing. Count these things joy because God is at work in your life. He actually calls it sometimes birthing pains. Birthing pains in I think it's Galatians, he says that this a process that's happening to you is going to feel painful, but he is developing something amazing in your life. For those of you out there who are wondering what value do you have, look inside. See what God has done in your life. Last week we had 3 people give their hearts to the Lord. They finally realize that there's value in their life and that God loves them more than anything in this world. There's no greater miracle than that miracle. One of my favorite verses, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Man, this is a great verse. For me, this is a particularly significant day. For me, I'm up here on a Sunday morning sharing the word of God with all of you. I feel very privileged and honored to do it. But this isn't just a normal Sunday for me. This isn't just a normal opportunity to share the word of God. I've shared the word of God from this pulpit many times. I served as a youth pastor here for 8 years. My wife, another 2 years. And we had many youth go in and out of our ministry. And we were able to pour into many people's lives. But never did it occur to me that years later, 3 kids later, that I would have an opportunity to be at Kingsway, to be sharing the word of God with you Sunday morning, and right before being led in worship by one of our very own youth. A youth that stood right here many, many years ago and didn't know which way was up, down, left, or right. Wasn't sure what to do or who to do it with. Now is leading us into the throne of God. And to have... He's not here right now. He stepped out. But to have, to me, one of the most important lifelines of the church, the youth. To be led by one of our youth, Chris, to be here and to have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, for our worship team to have youth on it, for our church pews to have some of those very same youth in it right now, today. Those are the points in time where you look at God and say, wow, that's what you mean when all things work together for good. Believe it, it wasn't easy all those years. And God is good. And I want to share that with you real quick. I'll spend 1 minute and say this. I didn't do announcements. I didn't do them on purpose because I wanted to share some things with you and Pastor why I could do it. But one announcement that is important is Pastor has been speaking the last 2 weeks during announcements about the opportunity to give offerings so that we can purchase an upgraded basketball equipment for the gym. And the announcement goes as follows, that on Saturday I met Amber and the shippers came and delivered the basketball equipment Saturday. And we are very soon going to install the equipment and have a really high-end basketball situation for the youth to enjoy and play. Why do I say that this is important? Because we have a pastor who values what's going on in this building. We have a pastor who values the children, and not just the children who sit on these pews, but the children in all of these houses and all of this community around us who very well may never play on a basketball gym like we're going to set up here. Who very well may be the single thing that allows this youth group to take it to the complete next level. To have a pastor like that who values us and values each and everything that happens in this building is rare. I've worked with many youth pastors and I've worked with many senior pastors, and it's rare to see someone care that much. And for some of you, even things like basketball may be an irritant. Literally. That's not a bad thing. Everyone has their own things they value. My point is, it's those irritants like what's happening in the basketball gym that God is going to layer with his value, layer with his love, and allow him to do something very much in your life and in this church's life because of it. Man, that's exciting. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, this is you. Each and every one of you has been stamped, God approved. What's happening in your life now, good, bad, or ugly, God approves of it. Now, because this was, the first time I've been back to Kingsway preaching in a while, I couldn't help but sort of share all my favorite verses. So I have one more verse. This is one I think I made one on my tombstone. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Oh, I could just end there, right? That it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. What am I saying to you guys? For those of you right now who need an encounter from God, for those of you right now who need God to answer a prayer, for those of you right now who need God to change your life or someone around you's life, for those of you who need to see circumstances completely turn upside down, I'm here to tell you the word of God says that he is working in your life this very moment, that wherever you are, wherever you are, whether you've just given your heart to the Lord or you've been serving the Lord for 60 years, Brother Bates, no matter where you are, that you are not done. And God is not done with you, because it says that it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We are constantly changing. We are constantly growing. God is constantly doing something in our lives because he values us more than anything else. So yeah, the trees will grow. Yeah, the land will change. Yes, this earth may go through transformation, but it all pales in comparison to what he's doing in your life. And that will continue to happen until we finally realize who God is, which is the whole point of this sermon. That there's no one that could love you as much as he does. Jesus Christ died for you, and he sees so much value in you that he wants to see your life transformed, the renewing of your mind. Oh, Lord, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. So I'm going to finish here. I don't like necessarily three-point sermons. I'm a little bit out of the box, obviously. But some of us need structure. We have notes. We need to take them. We need to write them down. If you are one of those people, this is the time to take your note and to write it down and to say, Sean preached a three-point sermon, and I remember all 3 points. Point number one, who is looking for you? Well, we've talked about lots of people looking for you, but we've all been very clear about this. Whoops. We've all been very clear about this. God desires and he is seeking each and every one of you. For those of you today who have not given their heart to the Lord or have decided that you're not sure about who God is anymore and you're questioning those things around you and who are wondering, what does God have for you? And are wondering, what is this world going to have for you? I say to you right now that God is seeking you, and today is the day to understand that he values you more than anything in the whole wide world. And that he is the most important thing, and he loves you enough to die for you. And that is the God we serve. Praise you, Jesus. Point number two, what is your perceived value? You may put value on your life, on your family's life, your children's life, the pastor's life. You may sum them up to value, but I'm here to tell you this, that your perceived value, God has paid the price for you. He has paid the price for you. No matter what your circumstances are, he understands it. Some of you out there have given your heart to the Lord, and you are praying, God, give me direction. Help me understand what my next step is. Should I be spending more time in ministry or more time with my family or more time here or more time there or doing this or doing that? For those of you who are trying to figure out what value does God have on you, I'm here to remind you something so simple. That he values you so much that he paid the greatest price. And so as you begin to evaluate how you're going to serve God, remind yourself that he gave it all for you. How are we and what are we going to give for him? Finally, some of you are out there and you are doing God's good work and you're doing and living and breathing in what you believe is the will of God. And you are wondering what's next, or maybe some of you are getting tired and you're looking at the value and saying, why, you know, why me? Because you are perfect. We could not have worship this morning if we didn't have someone come to this sanctuary, pick up a mic, and sing us worship songs. We couldn't worship if we didn't have someone else helping them sing the songs. If we didn't have music happening behind them. If we didn't have drums being played here. If we didn't have guitar and bass and keyboard. Well, we could have tried to pull it off. But God said, hey, if we don't worship, the rocks will worship for us. But we have an opportunity to do just that, to bring our best into the sanctuary and to show God all that we have and our value in him. We are fit for purpose. Each and every one of us has a purpose. You saw some of the purposes this morning. What does God have for you? What is he doing in your life? If you don't know, please find out. Spend all of your energy finding out what God has for you. Because when you do, oh, it will change your outlook, your thinking, your emotions. God is going to answer your prayers. He is going to be your hope. He will be your everything. And I feel certain that he will change your life. Amber, will you come up? Where is she? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind that there are those in the pews today that struggle with hearing God's voice and hearing his plan, or even feeling God's love. This message today was meant as God pulling out his bullhorn in heaven and screaming to you from the kingdom, I love you, my child. Well done, good and faithful children. One day you will enter the King of Heaven, but no, not yet. Not yet. You still have a plan and a place and something to do here on earth. And he wants to see you do it. So if you would stand with me, I'd like to pray with you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm aware it's a bit after 12 o'clock. But as I pray, I want to give an opportunity. Everyone doesn't need to come down to the altar. We'll close out soon. But if there are those among us today who have now thought through how much God loves them and wants to give their heart to the Lord today, we're going to open the altar for you. If there's some among us that believe that they're struggling with what God has in their life and need clear direction, we're going to open the altars to you. If there's some among us that know God has a purpose and wants to fulfill that purpose with all that we have, but just is not sure yet, we're going to open the altars for you. And please come as we pray. For the rest of you, I ask that you pray for this congregation and this building and all that's in it. Pray that God's love and God's value would be felt by each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are worthy and worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do. Father God, we are so thankful to serve a living God. We are so thankful to serve the one true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are so thankful to serve a God who will not just sit up there and do nothing. We serve a God, Lord, who will move and work today. Father God, I pray that you will allow your miracle working hand to come down and touch this church yet again. That you would allow people to be healed, Father God, of their circumstances. To be healed, Lord God, in their physical bodies, Lord God. To be healed of, Lord, financial strife, Lord God. That you would begin to change lives even as we talk and pray and lift up our voices this moment. Father God, we heard a song this morning, Lord, before the sanctuary, before the service. Lord, and that song said, Lord, Lord, why do you allow these things to happen on this planet? Why do people starve? Why are people being beaten and suffering? Why won't you do something about it? And Lord, you say, I am going to do something about it. I will send you. Father God, send us. Send us, Lord God. Allow us to understand and feel and know and be confident in your purpose in our lives. Send us, Lord God. Allow us, Lord God, to know what your plan is for Kingsway Christian Center and all that you have in it. We want to be a part of it. Not just here on Sunday morning, Lord God, but your will and your way from every day to come. Father God, we realize you seek us. We realize you paid the price for us. And we realize you created us. And for that reason, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise you. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us all and give us his peace. In his name we pray.